spend quite a bit of time with him the other day. We just had a special time together and visiting, and just had a great time. But at any rate, one of the things we were talking about on the way home is we got to talking. I don't remember exactly what got us on the subject, but it was something along the lines of spiritual warfare. And we got to talking about somebody. Who was it that you were telling me about that said that he believed that the key... Pastor Foster. From a church in Phoenix had said... actual warfare, and we're talking about how many know that we wrestle not. Ephesians 6 tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I think if Christians would learn that, it would cut a lot of the division down. But anyway, that's a side point. We'll get to that later. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And he was saying that real spiritual warfare is through praise and worship. And so that kind of started up a conversation. And I said, you know, I've been in situations where, and I, trust me, I'm not trying to be sensational. I hadn't even planned on mentioning these things, but it blends so well with what we're talking about. Some of you have heard some of when Jackie and I were on the mission field, and my years as a younger boy, parents who were on the missionary in Central America, were on the mission field in Central America. Some of the things that we experienced and saw there. How many are glad today for the name of Jesus? Amen. A name above every name. We shared with this a little bit on Wednesday night, but we talked about a number of things on Wednesday night. I remember a guy that came to a guy that had gone through our Bible school, came and heard about the power of the gospel and that Jesus was the same yesterday, today, and forever. And like a fool, for three nights in a row in a tent crusade outside San Pedro Sula, Honduras, picked up a man that they had brought in a wheelbarrow and drug him around the tent, commanding him to walk in Jesus' name. Now, that may be crazy to you. It was to me at that time, too. But he did this for whatever reason. My dad didn't stop him because my dad was the one that taught him this stuff. But here's this guy making a fool of himself and everything they were doing for two nights. On the third night, about halfway or so, I don't remember exactly, that man stood up and began to walk at the amaze of everybody there in the tent. A guy brought in a wheelbarrow. The name of Jesus. And this is why we've taken the time that we have. Those that have not been with us, we've spent a lot of time on the topic of faith. And we're making a bend right now. We're not moving away from faith, but actually we're amplifying what faith is. Our topic is faith works by love. Now, the reason I referenced what we were talking about, John, is it brought some memories to mind, some of yours and some of my own. I remember a young lady who was a missionary with the ministry there in Honduras, San Pedro Sula, Honduras, had a Bible school that was really going. At that time, this would have been mid-80s. We had over 500 people in the Bible school. I've been in that Bible school leading worship when there was pops, like somebody was taking pictures with a camera, like a flash bulb popping, and somebody would get instantly healed. Only happened one time, but just incredible stuff, an incredible time, incredible revival in the north coast of Honduras. And I remember there was a gal that had come down to work with my parents, and she came to my dad after a crusade or meeting that they'd had back in the backcountry. And she said, there's a situation that you need to see. This family's asked for you to come and pray for their son. And my dad said when he got there, he couldn't believe it. Here's this kid, mostly naked. I told you completely naked. I was talking to him. He actually had like a pair of swim trunks or something. Other than that, he had nothing on. He was chained with a regular dog chain and a collar to a tree, and he lived outside the house in the tree. And was completely out of his mind. And so this gal wanted my dad to go and cast the devil out of this guy because there was obvious stuff. I mean, in the middle of the night, this is weird. He knew whole phrases to Michael Jackson clips in English. This is in Honduras. And he would sing out of the blue would sing these. I'm not saying anything. I'm just telling you a fact. You do with it what you want to. But he would sing these and a few other clips from Michael Jackson out of the blue. Completely out of his mind. Had been this way for years. Lived like an animal. They had a dog dish, the whole deal. So my dad went there. And of course, what they wanted to see was the sensational. In the name of Jesus, come. You know, one of these deals. And I remember he took his Bible, he asked for his Bible, or a Bible, sat down under the tree, and began to talk to this kid like he was normal, opened up his Bible and began to share the love of God as he read the scriptures. And he would look up at this guy occasionally and continue to read. After a while, this guy comes down out of the tree and comes down by where he's sitting. End of the story is, as Dad sat there and read the word, a form of worship and a form of praise, that young man was completely set free by the power of God. How many know that we have power? But we also have the Holy Spirit who gives us wisdom on how to operate in that power. And if it ever becomes a show or there's arrogance involved, or my ministry. I remember a guy, a good friend of mine. In fact, how many, of course, you knew and loved Caleb and Fatima while they were here with us for almost 4 years, I believe. Fatima's dad, who has since gone on to be the Lord, great evangelist. I got to spend quite a bit of time with Victor. Victor was a tremendous guy, but early on, before he had been exposed to the message of faith and the authority of the believer and a lot of these ideas, he was with a young fellow that was from a spirit-filled church in a village back in the middle of nowhere, and they were having a hard time having any kind of a breakthrough. And it was mentioned to him that there was this lady that lived atop the village that sat in a chair in a trance. She was like this 24/7. They would feed her. She would, you know, her general care was taken care of by the family, but she would sit in a trance outside of her hut in a little wooden chair and would just do this the entire time. And skin was piling up. Victor said there was skin piled up around the chair and everything that was there. And the young guy that was with him, the young evangelist, said, "Bless God, I'll deal with that. And he grabbed that woman and hit his knees in complete pain. His arm shriveled up into his body. And Victor said he prayed over him the entire way home. Of course, he knows now that didn't have to end that way. You don't need, and listen, if you're in here, listen, I'm not trying to be sensational. We have power. I'm not afraid of any of that stuff. We've had deals, and I'm not going to bore you with it. I've shared last couple of services, things that we've had happen right here in Prescott that are unbelievable. Stuff flying off people's walls. And we watch as simple power of the name of Jesus put a stop to that. So it's not just over there. It's right here in Chino. Three blocks from where we're at right here. So how many are glad for the name of Jesus? So at any rate, he said, I know now the arrogance and the ignorance that we went in. And we were not complete in an understanding of God's love for us. And there was a lot of performance mentality. Now, another story. Along these same lines, there was a young lady that came to us. Jackie and I spent a handful of years in Central Florida. And, we were out of coffee this morning, and I drank two cups of instant coffee. And, boy, I'm drier than dry. And Ryan didn't bring me my normal cup of coffee, so we got to have a meeting. We have a board meeting. And so, at any rate, while we were there, long story short, God spoke to us in a church that had gone through church plant that I'd started with a friend of mine. We had one of the fastest growing churches in Brevard County, Hispanic speaking church in the beginning, and we had a massive church split, devastating thing. And as things began to rebuild, God spoke to me and he said, revival's going to come and it's going to come through the young people. And it did. It took about 4 to 5 years. He gave me a word over a handful of rebellious, spoiled brats. Now, that's not what they really were, but that's what they were being referred to. He said, you begin to tell them they're the answer and not the problem. That's all the word I got. We watched over the years as that youth ministry exploded. We had as many as 150 kids in that area packing out Wednesday nights, by far overshadowed. And we've got couple after couple after couple, like Ryan and Esther. Ryan is one of those who are in ministry today with children and doing great things. Tremendous time in our lives in a place that I never thought that I would be, Central Florida. And tremendous time of ministry there. At the time when this thing was really running at full tilt, there was a young lady that came to me after one of the services. She was from the Dominican Republic. She wasn't. She'd been born and raised here, but her family was, they were all Dominicans. And she came to me crying, and she said, after one of our services, she said, "Pastor Lee, I need you to come to my house and do an exorcism." I was like, "Okay, what's going on?" Well, her parents were into white witchcraft and other things. And she said, "I have had voices that I thought for a long time were inside my head." She said, "But now I can hear them audibly, and they tell me that I'm no good, that I'm worthless, that I came from this, and there's no use in living, and that I should take my life." And it was getting stronger and stronger. She said, "It didn't really bother me," because she said, "I was wrestling with whether it was me or my imagination. I've been going through a lot with my family." This little gal had just recently been saved in our ministry there. About, if I remember right, she was 18, 19 years of age. And she said, there was no problem until one night she said, I noticed that it started coming into my room. And when it come in my room, it would get very, very cold. And she said, I could hear it, him, whatever, talking, incessantly talking. She said, all of that was scary enough, but she said, this week, last night, he sat on my bed and there was an indentation on my bed and he laid his hand on my leg. I need help. Now, how many are ready for a big, wild-eyed deliverance? I've been there. I've seen it. I've been a part of it. But we have to be spirit-led. In that minute, and I shared with you a number of other examples of this. I mean, we had a guy there that the Lord did an incredible work on that was so out of his mind, he jumped through a plate glass window, second-story apartment, landed on his feet unscathed. They hunted for him for 4 hours. It took 6 men to pin him down. And he wasn't on drugs. And yet God did a miracle in that guy's life. So back to this gal's life. And you know, people, there's more that's going on. It's sad because we call them mental illnesses and we dope them up. We completely buffer with psychiatric drugs. And I'm not saying there's not a place for mental health. Please, I'm not saying, every time I've talked about this, somebody's gone out and said, that pastor's, you know, he believes that you ought to get rid of all your pills and stop all your medicine if you really believe. I've never said that. I don't believe that. I think you ought to be led of the Spirit. You ought to grow in faith and grow in grace and let God lead you. There may be a time when he'll ask you to step away, but you'll do it with faith and confidence that's born of something that's from the inside of you in your walk with God, not somebody telling you this is what it's going to take for you to really get free. Okay, so let me back up. So I told this young lady was there, and so this whole deal happened, and she's wanting me to come. First off, I said, honey, I can't come to your house. Your parents, they're not going to understand who I am. They reject categorically everything I believe in. But I said, listen, we don't need to do that. I said, here's what I want you to do. At that time, Hillsongs Australia was, in my opinion, at their very, very best. This was mid-late 90s. And I said, I'm going to have our sound guy put you together several CDs of worship, beautiful, beautiful worship that just exalts Jesus. Oh, she said, I love those songs. I said, here's what I want you to do. And this is what induced our conversation. Here's what I want you to do. And as I'm talking, I can hear me talking. I don't know where it's coming from, but here's what's coming. I said, here's what I want you to do. He's going to come in again. And I said, I want you to utterly ignore him because he is powerless if there is no fear. Powerless. And I said, I want you to turn the lights on. I said, trust God and trust me right now. Trust what I'm saying. This is true. I've watched it work. I said, I want you to turn the lights on. I said, I want you to go over and put that CD in your stereo and turn it up as loud as you dare. And I said, I want you to stand up just like you've done here since you've been saved. She'd only been saved a little less than a month. I said, I want you to lift up your hands here like we do and just begin to worship Jesus. And I said, here's what that will look like in the spirit. He has no power when that's going on. He'll stand there with his hands in his pockets for a little while and he'll have to go because there's nothing to do when fear is not present. I said, when you're loving and loving Jesus back like a child, that's one area he can't touch. Get your eyes off him. And I told her, and you know, I've been criticized, you know, because of what Jude says and others. I said, he's a punk and he has no power if you don't give it to him. And so I didn't see her the next week, and I thought, the human side. I thought, man, I wonder what happened. She came back. Something had happened with the family. Wasn't able to make it. Tears running down her face. She said, it works. It works. It works. He's gone. That girl got involved. I mean, so excited about Jesus. How many know we have been given power to tread, authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions? We have power through the name of Jesus deposited in each and every one of you who have believed on his name. You've been given a faith that most of you haven't even hardly tapped into yet. Jesus told disciples who were not even born again, he hadn't paid the price for the born again experience yet. He said, if you will speak to your mountain, and believe in your heart what you say. Don't look at me that way. Your Bible says this. This is not Lee's words. This is your Bible. Jesus speaking. He said, you will have whatever you say. Mark 11:23. It's funny because every time, and I've mentioned this a number of times, but if you're a visitor with us, a lot of people hear Mark 11:23 and there's this automatic judgment. Okay, here we go. This is another faith church. We're not a faith church. We're a Jesus church. And Jesus said, this is how faith works. Square your shoulders, eyes wide open, and with all the confidence of the world, and begin to talk to your mountain and tell it where to go in Jesus' name. Stop telling the mountain how big. Stop telling God, excuse me, how big your mountain is, and start telling your mountain how big your God is. You've got to go. I feel an earthquake in the spirit. I see movement in Jesus' name. How many are glad for that? Three of you. How many are glad for that? How many are speaking to your mountain lately? How many have figured out that it doesn't happen overnight? But you stand steady. 1 Peter chapter 5, we're told to resist the devil steadfast. James 4:7 says that we are to resist the devil and he will flee. Aren't you glad for that? We have great power. Now, the reason I brought this out is because these things of praise and worship, having power of the devil, have to do with exactly what we're talking about. Galatians 5:6 says that kind of faith works by love. Now, how many know growing up, how many remember when you were first born again? Oh, man. Nobody had got with you and taught you how to doubt yet. You were like a child, guileless and open, and you're believing, and it seemed like everything you asked for just happened. Do you remember that? Now, there are other reasons for that, but it's not because God's word changed. It's not because his will changed. It does have some things with the fact that so much of the church is riddled with tradition, and the tradition of men, Jesus says, renders the word ineffective. That's why we're doing our thing on Christian philosophy. And listen, you need to pray for me. Wednesday night has not been easy. It's been a difficult task. But with all my blundering and flailing and everything, we're going to push forward. And I believe that there's a lot of reasons why it's so difficult, because it's challenging a nerve that the church has been willing to just ignore. We're Grace Church. In no way are we pointing anybody back to performance. In no way are we pointing anybody back to works. But I believe the grace of God in you as you grow should cause you to become more Christ-like. Are you with me? The gospel you have embraced should eventually affect your morality, your politics, the way you see your world. It should absolutely have an effect on all of those things. And I think it's time for the body of Christ to quit sticking their head in the sand, find out why they believe what they believe, and move forward in Jesus' name to higher and higher levels in Him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We're talking about faith that works by love. I quoted it to you, but I'd like for you to see it in your own Bible. So would you open up your Bibles this morning and look at, we'll start right there, Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to push forward as far as I can this morning. I know the last time we were together, Jackie and I kind of made a last minute move to leave for the weekend. And I told you that we were going to talk about four kinds of love. Now, there are at least four in the Greek. And whether we have time to get to that today, probably not. I may have to bump that one more week. But we're going to look at what the different kinds of love mentioned in Scripture are. And then we're going to examine what the God kind of love is. So what we're going to be looking at is eros, the word eros, which we, in English, we just have one word for love. I love pizza. I love my dog. I love my cat. I love my wife. I love flowers. I love... In other languages, it's much more descriptive. There are different kinds of love. Hopefully, in English, we know what we're talking about, and we know there's a difference between loving your dog and loving your wife. Some guys, you'd wonder. So here's the deal. We need to know the difference. So there's eros, there's sturgos, phileo, and agape. There's others, all right? But there are these main ones that we see in Scripture. One of those we don't see at all, which is eros, and we'll explain to you why. And did I stick my foot in my mouth? No, I did not. To the pure, all things are pure. So at any rate, everybody's like, what in the world's going on? It's between me and Richie. Okay, so here's the deal. These four kinds. So we're going to look at them and see why it's important to know what the love of God is. Now, if you were born again, how many in here, don't raise your hand because there may be those that are here checking this out and need to be born again. But how many in here are born again and you acknowledge the radical change that has happened in your life because of that? How many figured out that your life, problems in your life did not end though? And now there is a journey. Paul addresses this in Romans 12, 1. He says, I beg of you, because of this great grace that I've talked about now for 11 chapters, I beg of you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And he says, don't be shaped or conformed to the spirit of this age, but rather be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. So in there, he's saying there is a mind renewal process. What this is you are, through the Word of God, finding out who you are on the inside. Most believers do not know what the new creature is. They can all quote it. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a... Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Well, it obviously wasn't your gray or bald head or wrinkles. So something became brand new that had nothing to do, at least in large part. I mean, healing came as part of that. But in large part, it's who you are as a person, who others see as a person. It had nothing to do with the outside of you. It had to do with the transformation on the inside. There are so many churches. And I grew up In a type of background that if I were to see my brother here with tattoos, I would have said, you can't be godly because you got craziness. You can't know God. You see, somebody, they used to criticize my mother because she trimmed her dead ends. She's going to hell because she cut her hair. And this emphasis on the exterior that has nothing to do with what God does on the inside of men and women. Withhold your judgment. Quit worrying about anybody else. You love God with all you can and love one another with the love that He loved you with. Are you with me? You know, I've heard more comments when Richie was first saved and coming here by people that meant well. But they're messed up in their thinking. It has nothing to do with any of those things. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. In this process of the new birth, this thing happened by regeneration of the Holy Spirit. And God didn't just make you a new person in that you're forgiven up to this point, but the rest now is up to you. That's what most of religion says. The Bible says you became a brand new creature on the inside, that the work of Jesus through the shedding of His own blood, in which He ascended, Hebrews tells us, sprinkled His blood on the mercy seat, confirming what He said on the cross. It is finished, and was the first high priest to sit down. It's done. Forgiveness is complete. In fact, Hebrews speaks of eternal redemption for those who have received His work of the blood. Forever perfected is what Hebrews tells us. That's a beautiful thing. But how many know there is a process now that I need to? Now, it might involve some things on the outside. That's between you and the Lord and who you're trying to reach. But how many know that when He talks about letting the outside come out, He's talking about the love of God, the power of God, doing the works of Jesus, being unfeigned, love that is unfeigned, faith that is real, these things. Peter speaking to women who were struggling, 1 Peter chapter 3, he was speaking to women who were struggling because they had come into the faith, but their husbands were not. And he said, listen, here's how you handle this. He says, let your godliness be your dress. Don't let your dress be the outside stuff. And this is where the Pentecostal movement got way out, because then they started saying it's all about what you dress like. That's not what he was saying. He was saying, don't let your identity or who you are be the way you dress. He was saying the opposite, but rather let that which is part of the hidden man of the heart be expressed through a godly and chaste lifestyle, loving your ungodly husband, and through this love, you will win him without the word. Read your Bible, 1 Peter 3. Say the love of God. Say with me, the love of God never fails. And faith works by love. Romans 12, Paul now is challenging those of us who have received great love, that we can turn this around now and let God use us. That we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds to the Word of God. He begins to tell us some things that have already been deposited in us. Romans 12, 5 tells us that to every man is given the measure of faith. You never need to pray for more faith. Just use the faith that you have. Little faith is a term given to somebody who has not used the faith that they have, and it's not grown just like a muscle growth. You got the same muscles, the same setup you did when you were born, but you have grown, and they have grown, and there's strength there. And the more you trust God and meditate in His Word, and the more you move forward and speak His Word, the more you grow. How many know that there's a little pain involved in that process? God didn't design you for pain, but we live in a fallen world. And in this world, we're going to experience some things that are troubling and they're tough. Are you with me? Trials, struggles, tribulation, we're going to face some pain. As long as you understand, James chapter 1 says, God is not tempted with evil, neither test or tempt he or trieth he any man with evil. The source of your trials and your pain are not God. But in that, you can rise above through the power of the name of Jesus with faith on the inside already given to you. You don't need to ask for more faith. Put it to work. Speak to your mountain. Trust God. Believe him every day and watch and see what he does. Now, this great faith works by love. I've got good news for you. Not only did he make sure love was put in you. Now listen, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. We already referenced bald heads and gray hair. So it's something else going on the inside of us. And all these things, the next verse says, and all these things that are in you are of God. So it's not talking about your deeds. It's talking about a work of regeneration by the Holy Ghost and making you somebody completely supernatural on the inside. Now, most believers live way below that. Are you following me? So we just addressed, Scripture says, faith was given to me. Paul, you guys have heard me quote it many times. I hope you can quote it with me. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, which says, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live, how? By my faith that I've fought for and built up, and I've fasted, and I've prayed, and I've stormed heaven. Boy, we used to get into that stuff. Broke through. What are you breaking through? Jesus already broke through eternally when he conquered the devil through the work of the cross. Amen. Your breakthrough's there. You just need to take it. Yeah. Are you following me? Yes. So all these, they're everything that you need. When you were born again and became a new creature, there were things put in you far beyond what you've even discovered. Oh, Pastor Lee, that's so cliche. All right, then Ephesians 3:20 is cliche. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant. Is that cliche? Abundantly above all that you could ask or think, the Amplified says, hope for or imagine, according to the power that works in you. What power, Pastor Lee? If you knew what my life looked like, I'm a wreck. Because we've been deceived into believing that we're somebody that we're not. We don't know what we look like in the Spirit. You have all the faith you'll ever need. You just need to look at the Word of God and find out how that faith works and begin to release what is already yours. Here's another thing. Now, we're talking about faith that works by love. Look at Romans chapter 5. I love this. Therefore being, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access. Can you shout it out with me this morning? By faith. By faith. We have access by faith in this grace. Pastor Lee, I don't deserve that. Exactly. That's what grace is. If you don't deserve it, then you're the perfect candidate for grace. And he's saying, we stand undeserving, yet nevertheless blessed beyond belief. Romans 5:17, we won't read it today, but you can scoot on down and look at it yourself or underline it, says that death reigned by one. Speaking of the first Adam, but for those who receive the abundance of grace, the abundance of undeserved goodness and love of God. Do you hear me? Undeserved. For those who simply like a child receive it. The abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, these shall reign. This is a kingly term. This is somebody who's not letting their mountain grow, but pointing their finger and said, you know what? I read some things in the Word, and I got used to you, and I got used to your shadow, and I got used to your perceived immovability, but you know what? You're busted. It's time for you to go. And I'm going to steady Eddie every day. You and me are going to have a conversation, and in the end, I win. For the victory, which is faith, we'll get there in a minute, is already mine. Is this talking to you today at all? Father, in Jesus' name, let what we're saying today be revealed through your word. Anything that comes from Mr. Bubba, let it be quickly forgotten, evaporate like steam. But let that which is of your heart be embedded till people can't wake in the night without thinking about it. Can't go to work, can't drive in their car, except that the grace and encouragement and power of God lifts them into a whole new level of victory in their life in Jesus' name. Can you say amen to that? Okay, so here's what he says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace when we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I want you to jump on down to verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God. Now I want us all, we've got different translations in here, some of you on your phone, some on Bible, some on different things. But I want us all, in what we're how we're seeing it, I want us to read it together. I want you to look at something. If you know Jesus, here is the truth about the love of God. Ryan hit it last week right on the head. You've already got it. Borrowing a phrase from Andrew Womack. Tremendous. Here's what it says. And hope maketh, let's start together. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. If you've been born again, you come into relationship with Jesus Christ, the love of God is part of the all things that came when the old things passed away. Are you here this morning? Would you dare lift your hands with me today? That's all over the room. Thank you, God. You didn't leave that one up to me. Because there are times when I'm blind by my humanness. Times when I am blind by my circumstances. Times when I think I hate. Times when I think I'm capable of things that are unthinkable. But I thank you today that you put the love of God on the inside of me. It's in there. I have deposited within me the ability to love supernaturally. It's in there. Hallelujah. Thank you for the love of God. Aren't you glad for the love of God today? The love of God in you. Now, if you don't have never met the Lord, never come into relationship with him, man, you're in a perfect place. We'd love to lead you into that relationship. It doesn't have to be tough. You don't have to sign a card, join our church. You don't have to tithe. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything. All you got to do is receive. God will help you take care of the rest.
Amen.
All right? That's the deal. How many are glad that the love of God has already been given?
Yes.
There are tons of things, but there's two that we're looking at. In specific, faith and love. And the Bible says, faith that moves mountains works by this love. So it would help us to begin to study and ask the Holy Spirit to teach us what this looks like. Because if you've only known the pop culture definition of love, then it's lost upon you what it is that we're talking about. Or if you've heard all of the so-called relationship gurus talk about unconditional love, they have no clue what unconditional love is unless they've come into relationship with the one who invented and is, by the way, unconditional love. For John says, God is love. Aren't you glad for that? He is love. So let's look a little bit more at then this whole topic, faith works by love. Turn with me to 1 John. I love the book of 1 John. I love all of them, but anyway, 1 John chapter 4. Starting out says, Beloved, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it would come. Even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Look at this next verse. I love it. Because greater is he. Never forget this. You ought to write this down on the flap of your Bible. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Turn to your neighbor, tap him on the shoulder, and preach to him a little bit. Tell him, say, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let's make it personal. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for Jesus? Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, you're of God, little children, have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth. The word know there in the Greek, if you look it up, is not just a mental knowledge, but it means to experience. So you could put it this way. Everyone that loveth is born of God and experiences God. Do you know how many believers made a profession of faith? Nobody ever discipled them. Nobody ever told them anything about talking to mountains. I mean, that's crazy. In fact, most of the church thinks you're crazy, and yet they forget it's Jesus is the one who taught us how to do that. Now, here's the deal. Listen, he says that everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth. He experiences God. Most of the church is not experiencing God. Jesus told his disciples in John 14, he said, listen, it's important for me to get out of here because I'm going to be sending you a special gift called the Holy Spirit. And the result of this is greater work shall you do in my name. I got to go. You can't lean on me anymore after the flesh. Up till now. There's been a purpose for this, but I got to go because I want you to lean on me by the Spirit. Trust that what I've said to you is true, and by the strength of the Holy Spirit, take my word. Again, I don't mean to be redundant because I think I've mentioned this three Sundays in a row, but I really want to drive it home. Road to Emmaus. Jesus has been killed by the Romans. We know better than that. He offered up his own life, but this is what it looks like. And there's disciples who are downtrodden, walking down that road, saying, it's all over. It didn't work. We thought we really had a good thing going. I mean, this guy opened up blind eyes. He healed the lame. I mean, this guy did some incredible stuff, but ultimately this stinking worldly system whooped him. He's in a hole. The resurrected Jesus appears alongside of them, and the Word of God says their eyes were held so they did not know him, recognize him. And what did he do? We talked about this in a humorous form, I think 2 weeks ago. He didn't jump into a phone booth, tear off his suit, and underneath, hiding a Superman suit with a cape, jump out and say, I'm here to save the day. What he did was he pointed them to himself in the Old Testament. In Moses, the prophets, and all of Scripture, he showed pictures of himself. It's a word to you and I. It's the same one that the centurion caught a hold of. Look, I'm a man under authority and in authority. I recognize love and authority when I see it. Just say the word, and that's enough. And that's something. Experiencing God, experiencing His power, there is a direct link right here in the Word of God with loving one another. I find it interesting, and we may, if we have time, turn to the Scripture just so you can see it. But Jesus said that we would be known because of how we love the world. Amen? As believers. Huh? No, the Scripture, doesn't it say that we would be known by how we love the world? The world would know that we're the real deal because we love how we love the world, right? You're right. Said the world would know that we were real believers because of our love one for another. See, the world doesn't get this kind of love anyway. In my effort to love someone that wasn't ready, didn't want anything to do with this gospel, didn't want anything to do, all I did was stir up a hornet's nest. I didn't mind the persecution, but it made them angry, made them hate me. It made things difficult. Now, we still have an obligation to love, but it didn't prove anything to them. Thank God for sown seed. Thank God that some of those have come around after years, some shorter, and some still haven't seen anything. But how many know the world in general, and certainly the spirit of the world that drives the world system, they're not interested in your love. But the world, people in the world, will know genuine love when they see love between the brothers and sisters. Isn't that something? And this is what John, by the Spirit of God, is referencing. He says, you will experience God. Think about what that phrase means, to experience God. How many here want to experience God in a greater way? Come on, let me look around the room here. Maybe. How many want to experience God in a greater way? John says that loving others causes us to experience God. And it also involves some very powerful things. Let's keep reading. It says, for he that loveth not knoweth not God, is not experiencing God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. How many are glad for life in Jesus? Three of you. How many are glad for life in Jesus this morning? Hallelujah. Shout with me, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he satisfies our mouths with good things? Long life, length of days, are his promise to those who love him. Paul even referenced it in the New Covenant. In Ephesians 6, he says, honor, children, honor your mother and your father. He referenced it as the first commandment with promise. And he said, if you'll do this. See, under the new covenant, the curse was removed. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. But how many know, just like the tithe, the curse may be removed, but there is a blessing for those who follow through. Not law for law's sake, but a revelation of love that causes me to fulfill, more by accident than I ever did on purpose, honor your father and mother, may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. God's will for us is to live life full of purpose. Full. What did I say? Say something wrong?
No.
You're just chewing. Okay. Boy, that was a sober moment. Okay, here we go. I gotta wrap this up, because I could go 3 more hours, and you know I'm not kidding. Okay, so here we go. Verse 15, he kind of repeats again. He says, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." How many in here have confessed Jesus as the Son of God? You know, religion has loaded us up with a bunch of other junk that has nothing to do with that. We define godliness by our American culture. And we see it only through that prism. That's opening up a can of worms. I'm going to just leave that alone. Okay. Hey, we'll do that on Wednesday. Here he says, "Whosoever confesseth that Jesus is the Son of God and dwelleth in him, and he in God, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God." You are most godlike. Listen, don't lose this. You're most godlike when you dwell in love. Now, I understand the challenges to that, because we're going to go home today and this is going to be awesome. And wow, man, I just so lifted. And tomorrow morning, Angie's going to do something, Tom, that's going to tick you off. And there's going to be a little thing. And somebody's going to have to, in love, whether they deserved it or not, be the first to step forward and say, "I'm sorry." While internally they're saying, "But I'm not the one who did it. She's the one who opened her." Shut up. Realize that in Jesus, it's not about demanding your rights. It's submitting to one another in love, esteeming the other higher than themselves. This kind of love is, and man, I hope I can get there before we leave, is a childlike, guileless type of love that causes a fearlessness that comes from innocence. Boy, that was a mouthful. I don't know if I can say that again. There is a fearlessness that comes from a God-given innocence. When we're not cluttered with stuff, he said, she said, they said, the world said, this makes me mad, that makes me mad, I'm claiming my rights, you shouldn't step on, you need to give me my space, I'm a grace person. You heard that one? Uncluttered, childlike. "I know that you love me." The Old Testament said, here's what this looks like. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus is a Jewish rabbi making the bend. Questioned about the law. References the law in response to their question. The lawyers of old, and he says, "You're right. This is what the law says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." But in that last precious intimate moment with his disciples, now everything has changed. And he blows the lid off of all of that thinking that the church is still preaching, by the way. What's the matter with you is you don't love God enough. No, you don't understand the love of God for you enough. This is why we point at each other and judge because of how we dress or how we this or how we that or how we this or how we the other. You know what? That's not my place. As a leader in the church, if I've got leaders and they're in open sin defined by the word of God, I'm going to go to them in love. Galatians 6:1, if you see a brother overtaken in a fault, go to such a one in the spirit of weakness, like spirit of meekness, not spirit of weakness. We got to back up, people. In the spirit of meekness, knowing that you yourself can be tempted. So that's what that looks. We're not making an excuse for sin, but we got to stop the pointing, and we got to stop the opinionating, and we got to pull back and realize there is an incredible power in innocence. And innocence can come. I don't care what you've done, where you've been, and who you've done it with. There is an innocence that can come through the grace of God that can make you powerful in this world to fulfill what God has called you to do. All right, don't shout me down. We'll go to the next point. I'm kidding. I realize we're chewing. Okay, he says this, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed that the love that God hath to us," back to what I didn't finish a second ago, Everything changed from the old to new because this is what Jesus said in that final intimate moment with his disciples. He says, all that was for then. The law is for the lawless. But now, because of a ratified new covenant, this is what it looks like. Love one another as I have loved you. Would you say with me today, mountain moving faith works by love. Pow. 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Here's another powerful, powerful, powerful scripture. Many of us are in different levels of growth. Many of us come from many different perspectives, walks of life. But let me tell you something. If you've received Jesus as your Lord, don't you let anybody else define you by anything other than this. As he is, so are we in this world. And then he says, there is no fear. There is no fear in love. But perfect love. I heard it for years. This means mature. This means whole. And the innuendo there was, if you'll grow up and love like you should, that's not what this is saying at all. It's talking about God's perfect love for you. His perfect love for you casts out all fear. The more you find out how much he loves you, the more you take by faith, like an innocent child, what is yours. Love, we'll see, and we're going to help you through the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit, help you kind of define that, see how that works. Not today, obviously, but help you see that this kind of love operates, this kind of faith operates by love, and it's not just any love. That's why we're going to look at the different kinds of love in the Greek, and then look at what agape, which is what you're going to find here. If you go to your Strong's Concordance or you go to anything, you're going to find this is the God kind of love. It's what I call bulldozer love. I'm going to love you whether you like it or not. Amen. I'm going to love you whether I like it or not. Because I'm to love you, my brothers and sisters, the world is not going to know that I... And listen, where'd this go in the church? This stuff isn't popular. It doesn't grow numbers yet, but it will. I'm very glad for mountain-moving faith on the inside of you. Come on, say it's on the inside of me. How many are glad today for love that was... God took... He didn't expect me to come up with that. He gave me both. It's in there. I can put it to work. Because he wants me to... Listen, Jesus made it clear. We need to get our doctrine straight. John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus says, the thief is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have life more. He's talking about when we get to heaven. No, he's not, because in heaven there's not going to be any thief. There's not going to be any stealing, killing, and destroying. He's talking about right here on planet Earth, those who the seed of Abraham, wherever they put their feet, is a place called blessed. And we can, if we'll open up our mouths... Are you here today? And begin to speak the Word of God. The supernatural. That's our inheritance. All right. I got to tie this together. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth, think of that, fear hath torment. Think of what Jesus said to the disciples in John chapter 14. He says, listen, some things are going to change. I'm going to be leaving, but I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. And there are going to be some things that are going to come your way. He says, my peace give I unto you, not as the world gives, but as I give. He said, let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. He gave you and I right there. Listen, what he does for one, he does for all. If you have a troubled heart, why? Fear? Separation? Conflict? Fear of the future? Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be going. And here's what I'm telling you. Don't let your heart be troubled. My dad said something years ago when I was worrying about the will of God for my life and what should I do and agonizing. And I was so super ultra conscientious. And he said, Lee, stop it. God's not that hard. This was back when we were under a lot of legalism. My dad understood some things that helped me as a young man. He said, stop it. He said, God's not that hard. He said, I've learned as I've walked life. He said that when I don't know what to do and the pressure's on, shift it into neutral and coast a while and trust God. He said, probably should be doing that anyway. He said, kick it into neutral. Go fishing. Go hunting. Go do something. Enjoy life. Do something. Go serve somebody. Go love. Shift it. Quit worrying about every little stinking step and worrying about whether you're getting it exactly right. He said, because ultimately he loves you and that's all that matters. Shift her neutral and let her coast a while. Don't let your heart. Jesus said we had the power to not let our heart become trouble. And he also said that he gave us the power to fear not. It amazes me, the so-called spirit-filled believers. I'm not questioning their relationship with God or the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But when we talk about spirit-filled, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So many that I've got somebody close to my family, they've been through such tragedy and have just been beat up by the devil because of wrong thinking. And they literally are like this all the time. It's serious. I'm not making fun of anybody. It's somebody close to me that I love. This is the picture of vice. I'm so glad he whom the Son is set free. It's free and deal. The devil, the world, will sell you a bill of goods and say, if you do this, and if you marry the right person, and if you pick the right thing, and if you do this, and if you go here, and if you go there, or I hate it here, if I could live in such and such, and he'll just keep you jumping around. I've found out that if you'll just shift or neutral and bloom where you're planted, love God, worship God, watch God do what he does. He'll turn your little desert into a beautiful garden from which many will be fed. Blessed is the man, Psalms 1, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, for his delight, his passion, his childlike. Wow, your word is awesome. He meditates in it day and night. This one will be like a tree which is planted by rivers of water. He'll bring forth fruit in a season. And whatever he does will prosper. Say, God's prospering me. Come on, are you here today? God is prospering me. I'm finding out how much he loves me. I'm finding out that love was already given to me before. I mean, I confessed Jesus as my Lord and it was deposited in there along with faith. And I'm finding out right now, Mr. Devil, you've been hovering over my life for way too long. For a faith that works by love can kick your fanny. I know that's not very eloquent. But you got the point. I got to quit. Parting shot. Man, I didn't get half where I wanted to go, and never do. But I feel like we got where we needed to go by the Holy Ghost. How many got something out of today?
Yep.
Parting shot. I heard it years ago, and I thought it was so funny. Everybody's got opinion, an opinion. Opinions are like armpits. Everybody has at least two. And they usually both... Opinions. Bob, quit bumping Valerie. I know who's the troublemaker in your family. Opinions show the beauty of our differences, our individuality. Opinion can also show the very ugly aspects of who we are as human beings without God. Opinions are what they are. I've heard it said many times, everybody has a right to an opinion. That's true. But in the body of Christ, I don't have a right to anything that builds a wall. And if your opinion separates you, as a kid who grew up in a pastor's home and in a missionary's home, I learned early on, if I walk into an area where I'm a guest, I find a place of agreement. If I can't, I gracefully and graciously find a way to leave. And this is with the world. In the church, I've been confronted both where you're sitting and here over the last 35 years. And I found out that wisdom, I'm still learning, and love given by the Holy Spirit, grace, does not demand its rights. Does not allow opinion to separate. I know what it's like to sit and listen to a young minister that I trained saying something that was off. And in public, I sat where I was at, kept a smile on my face, encouraged him, loved him. Nobody in that congregation knew any different. Till I could go to him privately and say, man, you did awesome, but there's some things we need to talk about. Do you know that works in a marriage? Do you know that works in a Bible study? Do you know that that works in raising children? It works in many areas. Opinions that build walls and separate. This is why Paul said in Philippians 2, he says, let this attitude be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. He didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God, for he was equal with him. But he set aside his glory and he humbled himself and he became a servant. Paul goes on to tell us that we have a supernatural love on the inside of us. The kind of love that puts the grease to the cogs of the machine that produces mountain-moving faith. I didn't get there today, but I'd love to talk about Nathanael, who Jesus recognized as a man without guile. What it means is because of innocent love. Wow. You're so good to me. He was a man who didn't have an angle every time he sat down with a brother or a sister or frustrated by or angry about somebody else having an angle. But with grace and maturity and the love of God, could see beyond, not react. You know, reacting is a sign there's fear. But I'm here to tell you that the love of God, how many in here today realize you have that love now? The love of God cast out all fear. You don't need to be afraid. There's so much more I could say, but I'm 10 minutes past what I wanted to be, so I'm going to stop right there. Would you, right where you're sitting, can I pray for you? Yes. Right where you're sitting, and we're going to dismiss. Altars will be open. As soon as I say amen, those of you that are part of our prayer team, would you come to the front? You're free to go at that point. I'd love to lead you to the Lord. If you don't know Jesus today, I'd love to meet you and lead you into a personal relationship. If you're going through a struggle, I'd love to pray with you. We have a team up here that would love to pray with you. I'll remain up here to minister to you. But right now, I want us to, if we could, just right there where you're sitting, lift our hands one more time all over the room. Could you do that? Lord Jesus, how we love you today. Your people here, as we've received from your word. Father God, I thank you for a Holy Ghost revelation of the love of God. Something that softens our edges. Something that ties us back to what you spoke in the Old Testament. A soft answer turns away wrath. A peace that rises above personal conflict. Something that says, I don't feel threatened because I know I'm loved and therefore I can love in spite of what this feels like. Father, I thank you today for the love of God. I thank you for a transformation in our congregation. I thank you that gently and sweetly, sarcasm, an unnecessary innuendo fades as brothers and sisters pull the pointing finger back and begin to stretch a hand heavenward and say, Lord, do a work in me. Let this attitude that was in Christ Jesus be found in me. Father, I thank you for your protection upon our little church here. I thank you that splits and wolves will be caught before they ever have a chance to get off the ground. I thank you for something precious and deep that is happening in the hearts of husbands and of wives, of brothers and of sisters. Father, I thank you that in this environment, what could be a formula that frustrates us, faith, becomes a powerful mountain moving. It sees literal blood disorders fade as love is received and love is given. Arthritis that goes away. Answered prayer in reference to loved ones. Father God, take us back as Nathaniel to one who is guileless. No angle, no trickery, like a child. Thank you today for the love of God that is in me. Teach me how to walk in it by faith. Say this with me and then we'll go. Thank you for perfect love that cast out all fear. For you have not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound, peaceful, strong mind. In Jesus' name. Man, how he loves us this morning. How he loves you and me. How he wants us to win. How he wants us to rise above other people's criticism. Have you ever noticed that somebody can try to compliment certain people and in their effort to compliment, offend them? I see it in church all the time. And it's because two opinions were demanded. I thank God that in the love of God, these things just begin to fade. Let's walk this week. Let's be conscious of it as we move forward. Now, how many are expecting great things, great miracles, breakthroughs? Yes. In Jesus' name. Anybody can be a critic. But it takes a man and woman of God full of love and faith to make a difference. How many feel that we need to make a difference in Chino?
Yes.
There are some things going on here that aren't good right now. And it's not just the pot farms. It's a spirit. Come on, come back, come back, come back, come back, come back. I'm not even referencing that. I just wanted to check that off your plate in case you know me. We've talked about that and some of your... We're talking about something else. That could be involved, certainly. But how many know we're here, we're called here for a purpose? But until a group of people can stop always dividing, it's rampant in our area. Always dividing. People just run. Most of church growth in our area is somebody from another church. And it's just like this. I'm not saying God doesn't lead you, but I'm talking about this just constant stuff. How many know it takes a group of people who come together in love and unity for a Pentecost to happen? And how many know we need Pentecost in Chino Valley in our area? So, Lord, we thank you today. All things are possible to him, to her that believes. And would you join me and say it today? And I believe. Oh, I believe in love. It causes faith to move mountains. Where did the last 20 minutes go? Well, I hope you had as much fun as I did. Let's stand to our feet and be dismissed. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for the Word of God, the incorruptible seed that produces fruit. Let it be embedded in our hearts forever. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Altars are open. Be dismissed in the grace of God. Altars are open as we worship. And we're here, man, no matter what you're going through. If you need prayer, or I'd love to just meet you, whichever. Just altars are open. Have a wonderful week in Jesus' name. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to. I hope I remember you guys.
No, not at all.
What a blessing to have you here.
You're used to it. But
that was not. That was my. We got a bunch of people from all kinds of walks.
True.